The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, you might have heard some discussion earlier in the day on the station about comments from Helen McEntee, the Minister for Education. She was asked about the length of the summer holidays. Now, she said, listen, if there were going to be any change to the summer holidays, it would be a big body of work. You'd have to involve, of course, the teachers, teachers' unions, the Department of Education, and a whole lot more besides. She defended, though, the length of those holidays. She said it is a chance for both teachers and students to take a break. Rachel Harper is the principal of St. Patrick's National School in Greystones. Rachel, is the minister right?
Yes, no, I'd agree with the minister. I think, you know, once June comes around, definitely the children, the teachers, the SNAs, everybody's ready for that break. They're almost burnt out at that stage, high energy year. You know yourself, schools are very busy places. So I think, you know, definitely the summer holidays are welcomed. And I think, you know, there's huge benefits for children there because, you know, the days are brighter, longer, they're getting out, they're getting active, you know, they're spending time with their family, they're, you know, having reunions with other family members, cousins, you know, going on holidays. I think it's really beneficial for children. And I think having those longer few weeks as well, there's a sense of excitement when they do come back in September that they're ready. They've had a good long break. They've recharged their batteries. They're looking forward to seeing their friends. They're starting their new classes. They're opening their new books. They're, you know, there is that sense of excitement because they've had such a long break.
Yeah, the minister said our teachers work hard. Our schools are very active throughout the year. I think the time that's taken throughout the summer gives everybody a chance to take a break. Do you have some sympathy, though, for parents, particularly in households where both of them are working, neither of whom are teachers, and the summer is all about juggling who is going to mind them and when and what camps can they do?
Oh, listen, absolutely. I have a lot of sympathy for parents. It's a lot to juggle, particularly if both parents are working. And there's a lot of pressure there on parents to sign up to camps and to do different things with their children constantly, activities going on. So I would say there, though, Kieran, you know, like not to forget that the kids, you know, they do need to be left to be slightly bored themselves. And that's when they get creative in the back garden with a ball or a hurl or a tennis racket or coming up with their own games and socialising or building things, making things, being creative, because there is that pressure on parents to constantly entertain the children and sign them up for everything. And then again, as you say, like the childcare as well. So there's a lot of extra pressure put on parents during the summer holidays. And I do definitely sympathise with them.
Aideen Finnegan is with us, who's a podcast producer and presenter of Better With Money from the Irish Times. Aideen, you're not quite at the point of forking out money over the summer just yet, but it's looming. Is that fair?
No, it's looming. I had this slow dawning realization a couple of years ago and I thought, hang on a second, nobody talks about how they actually get through the summer. And I think that people are basically too exhausted and too broke and too busy to riot over it because it doesn't in any way reflect the reality of our society now. And I actually spent time as a teaching assistant. So I'm not one of these people that subscribes to the idea that teachers have it really easy. I know they work very hard and I know it's a break for everyone. And I do agree that children need a decent break over the summer as well. However, that decent break won't be with me at home. I still have to work. So they'll have to be minded by somebody who isn't me. So it's not like they're at home with their parents, you know, and I think it's just we all know that the school holidays and the timetable is based off an old agrarian system where children were needed to help with the harvest and on the farm and all the rest of it. And we're not in that anymore. And not only that, but even in the like I grew up in the 80s and 90s, it's actually the 2002 census was the first census that showed that over half of married women were in the workforce. And that was due to a change. I think there was Charlie McCreevy changed, you know, the way tax credits were assigned. Mm. And all of a sudden there was loads of women who joined the workforce then. So we've had this incredible shift in 25 years without any of the structure around it changing. And so whether the school holidays get shortened or not, the children need minding. So either the school holidays stay exactly as they are and the government helps parents figure out how the hell they make this work, because it was actually Liz Carolyn writing in the Irish Times recently pointed out that if you have if you take all your annual leave plus the unpaid parent leave you're allowed to take from your employer, you still don't get up to the 13 weeks or 14 weeks off. That doesn't, you know, even if you max out the leave that you can take, and that's assuming you're in a job where you can do that, you don't get up to that 13 or 14 or weeks off. So either the school holidays stay the same and the government provides this national model.
Which would you prefer? Which would you prefer?
I think that it doesn't suit a lot of children to be off for the summer, and it suits many others. Like I watched some kids when I came back after that, you know, when I was working as a teaching assistant for a year, and I came back in September, and I did see some of the kids regress over that time, but they are the minority in the class. So I think probably on the whole, it suits most children to have that really long break.
But I
know there's the summer program, and I know that that's where the minister was speaking at when she made those comments. But I think the uptake, like, that is a voluntary program for schools to put on. And I don't even know if there's the amount of children that are entitled to, you know, that they qualify by virtue of having a disability or some other, they need some other learning supports, or they're from a disadvantaged background. I don't even think the number of children that there are of those of that cohort are actually able to avail of that summer program. Yeah. So.
Yes. I know it's a real kind of case of muddling through, I know, in lots of households, and ours is the same. So we're kind of right in the middle of this because, you know, the kids are off and they're not quite at the stage where you can leave them on their own. Yeah. We're counting down to that point. And I give you an example. I'm off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week coming. And the reason I'm off isn't because we're doing anything. It's because we've kind of run out of being able to ask people to drop them off and collect them from places. So I just said, listen, I'll take a few days off. And listen, I don't mind it. I have a few days. I can take it. There's always jobs to be done in the house, but it's the only reason I'm taking them off is to mind the kids for a few days or do some of the parenting. You know, I'm one of these modern dads, Aideen. You know, I like to do a little bit of the parenting, 3 days over the summer.
How much have you done of the ferrying around, Kieran? I suspect you haven't really been in a position to do it.
You know, I'm just flat out, you know, breadwinning and stuff like that, Aideen. You know how it is.
But you know what I mean? Like, people's hours, they're not conducive to, like, even if you think about the basic working day, like, let's assume people start at 9 o'clock and not everybody does. Even if you do, the camp doesn't start.
Well, now, in fairness, I know, but and I guess maybe the counterpoint to that is I have a slightly unusual job. There's not many of them like this. Whereas there'd be people listening to this and the post-COVID flexibility that exists now in some workplaces, not all, and there's been a bit of pushback, does make it a bit easier maybe in the summer, does it?
Thankfully, I think that there was, you know, some companies did retain some of that flexibility, but an awful lot of them didn't. And there is, you know, eyebrows raised when you have to come in a bit later to accommodate that. But it's just the patchwork of everything. It's like, okay, so this camp starts and finishes at this, but I can do this drop. Can you do that? And then all the helping out amongst parents and people on a rota, like,
yeah, actually, sorry, camps that start at 10. Can we just bring in I will vote for the politician who introduces legislation to ban camps that start at 10. They just don't suit anybody. Camps start at 9 o'clock, will you, for God's sake? You know what I mean? If you have to finish a bit earlier, that's fine. But most of them are finishing earlier than the work and day. But starting at 10 is just a pain in the backside. Rachel, what about the idea then of, you know, if you want to maintain the length of the summer? And I listen, despite the fact I'm taking a few days off, I'd be inclined to say keep them. I just like the idea that the kids have a chunk of time off in the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, is there something to be said for the point Aideen makes about maybe there being more structure or more support over the summer, or that we kind of utilise the school buildings, if it's not necessarily yourself and the teachers, it's that others use them? I know that's kind of a model in Scandinavia. A lot of the actual school buildings are used during the summer period. Are there more things that could be done to help the parents given that reality?
And I'm listening there and I'm thinking, gosh, yeah, there is a lot for parents definitely to juggle with over the summer and their own work and everything combined. But it's, as the minister said, I think, you know, definitely we all need to work together on this, you know, working with the schools, the parents and the government, because there's a lot of families struggling at the moment. And I know from chatting to parents, even in my own school and in my own community, they are struggling with childcare and trying to keep the kids entertained. I still think it's very beneficial for them. So there's something that possibly we should all be working together on that. But I know, like in my own school, we do have the building, there's camps going on all summer, different people come in, to do with the school, but they come in, like, play ball, different things. And we did the 2 weeks July provision. So, like, I think schools do see that. They do see the strain that are on parents as well. But it's a combination, isn't it? It's like, you know, trying to combine all these different ideas and trying to help parents out. I mean, some children love to be at home and maybe one of their parents is at home and it suits their family life and they love having the 8 weeks, you know, to spend together. So it's, and then other families, it's really, really difficult for them. So it's trying to balance it, make it comfortable for everybody. But I do think, look, there is a space there that maybe the government could come in and help, because these, you know, the school buildings are fantastic facilities to have. And if they're closed up for the whole summer, that's a shame too, you know.
Aideen, in terms of the kind of organisation and everything that happens around kids, do we try to organise too much for them as they get older? Like, I made the point that I can't wait till they're kind of in their teens and I'm just going to abandon them, myself and my wife utterly abandon them during the day while we work. and I just wonder whether there's... you know, just this kind of helicopter parenting phenomenon and everything, that does that manifest into teenagers? Are kids left to their own devices too little? You obviously can't do it with an 8 and a 10 year old, much as I try to argue with my wife that we should, but you know, she tells me we can't.
I think you've accidentally made a pun there about leave them to their own devices. We don't want them on devices. And the way to have them off screens is to, you know, be engaged. And I do
leave them at home, but lock them outside. Is that's what you're saying?
Exactly. Just give them a few sticks and a few stones and just see what they'll build at them.
Scatter some food out. They could try and find it.
There's so much work involved in keeping kids off screens, and it involves creating the environment for them to actually be engaged in something. It's an awful lot of work for parents to do, and it's an awful lot of work for teachers to do. And that's why having kids is an awful lot of work. But can I just make the point that it's not even about making life easier for parents? Like, there is an economic thing going here. There is like a broken system on a whole, you know, macro level, because we have a generation of grandparents, usually women in their 70s, working for free so that a business can retain their staff. If you're there doing the sums going, I can't make this work, because there's people paying nearly $1,000 a week, you know, between camps and then the after school childcare. Like, I have a friend who has her kids in the camps, and then she has to drop them into the after school, and the after school don't do part-time hours. So she's paying for them as if they're there for the full day. So like, we're talking crazy money here, right?
Yeah.
If you want people to stay in work, paying taxes for that money to go into the exchequer, you have to facilitate them working. Right. And like, this is just the way our society is now. We have we have both parents in the house working. That's not the case for everybody. And I wish I had the freedom to dip in and out of the workforce that I would like. You know, I would like to take a little break for a couple of years and be at home. I can't afford it. I tried it. It doesn't work. And I can't make the maths work, as they say. So I just think, even if you are, I don't care about your kids, I don't care about how parents are making it through the summer, do you want me at home drawing welfare because I'm not able to work? Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. there is an economic basis to this as well as everything else, as well as it having in serving the interests of children.
Aideen and Rachel, listen, thanks a million, and enjoy what is left of the summer. For what it's worth, Aideen Finnegan, podcast producer, presenter of Better With Money from the Irish Times, and Rachel Harper, principal of St. Patrick's National School in Greystones. Jim says, I work 48 weeks a year. I could do with 2 more months, please. I've worked very, very hard in the private sector. Politicians should be taking the same holiday time as the rest of us. 10 weeks holidays is a disgrace in most Scandinavian countries, says somebody else. The school remains open for activities during the summer. We have a huge wasted facility resource in this country. That's a great point. And in fairness, I thought it was interesting that Rachel said in the national school there, they do the summer provision for 2 weeks, and then groups are using the school right throughout the summer in the school grounds. You see lots of schools shut up shop. Now, I know there's often building work maybe or maintenance work done, but a lot of resources there that could be used. Paul from Yall says, if the school holidays move to the UK model of 6 weeks, the price of holidays would rocket, as they do in the UK, and absences will rise as parents try to save money. We would hate, says somebody else simply, for holidays to be shortened. They're in school long enough.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.